And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about the Vatican and the announcement published here a short time ago. Pope Francis has said Vatican next year to open archives on wartime Pius XII. Vatican next year, which would be 2020, to open the archives on wartime Pius XII. Now that's wartime Second World War. And Pius XII, who is commonly called Hitler's Pope. Now, this is pretty remarkable here. You've had people who have been pushing for the Vatican to open their archives and to reveal what was going on in Rome and with the Catholic Church during the Second World War, because there are many voices, many people who have believed that the Vatican and the Jesuits and the Roman Church were involved with Hitler, that they worked in cooperation with Hitler. In fact, that's the general assertion, not just generally, very specifically made by Edmund Paris in his book, The Secret History of the Jesuits. And that's a book we carry on our website, but you read that book, and Paris was a French journalist, and he writes this book. He documents all sorts of evidence about how the Catholic Church in Europe, and I would make a distinction, because people get confused because you think of American Catholicism, and you're thinking that the average American Catholic would have nothing to do with somebody like Hitler. And of course, that's right. That's true. And we agree with that. But you have over in Europe what I call European Romanism. European Romanism is basically the modern manifestation of the Inquisition and the mentality of the Inquisition, which is that the Pope should be the absolute monarch over all the nations of the earth, because he is proclaimed to be the vicar of Christ. And you have people in the Vatican and who are working through Rome even to this day who continue to believe that. The Jesuit order generally continues to believe that. Of course, they want the Pope to be the supreme head of all planet Earth, but they want it to be a Pope that they can control, that they can tell him what to say and what to do, etc. And I've said and have believed for years, as long as Pope Francis has been in office, that he is being managed and controlled by the Jesuit order collectively. And this is affirmed by many different sources, probably the chief of which is the book The Black Pope by M.F. Cusack, which you can now find on, you can actually go to Amazon and order that book. You might be able to read it for free online. But that's one of the best books on that subject. M.F. Cusack was a former nun, and she wrote a book called The Black Pope, and it was the idea that the Jesuit general is called the Black Pope, that the Black Pope really reigns over the White Pope, that the Pope who comes out and waves to everybody is really being managed and controlled by the Jesuit order, by the Jesuit general in particular. That's why they call him the Black Pope. And you've got stories about that that go back to the 19th century. I mean, when I was doing the research on Bridge to Babylon, and I was going over the writings of Westcott and Hort, I found a quote from Hort that I'd never seen from anyone. And Hort was talking about something that the Pope might say or do And he said words to the effect, well, the Pope will do such and such if the Jesuits permit, or if they allow him to. Words to that effect. But his very clear insinuation was that the Jesuits are the ones controlling things in the Vatican, and the Pope does what they tell him to do. And this is something you'll find repeatedly if you do research into all of this. Anyway, I want to read here a couple of quotes from the book, The Secret History of the Jesuits, by Edmund Paris. And I'm reading here from an English translation translated from the French original from 1975. 1975. Remember that date. It's going to be important here in a minute, because they're getting ready to open the archives next year in the Vatican. And we've got documentation for what was contained in the archives even before, long before. And we're going to talk about that here as we go forward. But so these dates matter. So in 1975, here is what Edmund Paris wrote. He said several things. He said, quote, "The public is practically unaware of the overwhelming responsibility carried by the Vatican and its Jesuits in the start of the two world wars, a situation which may be explained in part by the gigantic finances at the disposition of the Vatican and its Jesuits, giving them power in so many spheres, especially since the last conflict." So Paris, he says in his writings that he generally believed that the Vatican was chiefly responsible for instigating both World War I and World War II. It's important to remember that both Winston Churchill and Charles de Gaulle, at the end of World War II, said, "We've just come to the end of our second 30 years war." And knowing that the first 30 years war was a conflict between Catholics and Protestants across Europe is very important to understand. Very important to understand, especially when you have those quotes from Churchill and de Gaulle. All right, now Paris goes on. Later on, he says, "On the 1st of May 1938, the Mercure de France, which is a publication, reminded us of what had been said 4 years earlier." Quote, "The Mercure de France of the 15th of January 1934 said, and nobody contradicted it, that it was Pius XII who made Hitler. He came to power not so much through legal means, but because the Pope influenced the Centrum German Catholic Party. Does the Vatican think it made a political error in opening the way to power to Hitler? It doesn't seem so." Okay, so the Centrum German Catholic Party, that's the Catholic Center Party in Germany. Remember that. Now, a third quote says, quote, "Mr. Joseph Rovan, Catholic writer, comments on the diplomatic agreement between the Vatican and the Nazi Reich on 8th of July 1933. He said, quote, "The Concordat brought to the National Socialist government, considered nearly everywhere to be made up of usurpers, if not brigands, the seal of an agreement with the oldest international power, the Vatican. In a way, it was the equivalent of a diploma of international honorability." End quote. So, the Vatican and the Jesuits were responsible for financing Hitler. Pius XII supposedly made Hitler, came to power through the Catholic Center Party, and the result of this was a concordat, an agreement, a political agreement between the Vatican and Germany. That agreement was facilitated by Hitler with the Vatican. This is all very important. It's very important right now because that concordat continues to be in power to this day. To this very day, that same concordat that the Vatican made with Hitler is still in power. And the Catholic Center Party, which we're going to learn more about here, the Catholic Center Party, after the war, the members of the Catholic Center Party, many of them left that party and they went and they became the inner core of what is called the Christian Democratic Union in Germany, the CDU. That is Angela Merkel's party. You're seeing all this stuff in the news about Angela Merkel. And she's the head of that party. She's the chancellor there in Germany. And she's responsible for bringing all of these Muslims, flooding the country with all these Muslim migrants. And they're taking over Germany. And people are sitting there throwing their hands up in the air. And they're wondering why she's doing this. Well, if you know the relationship, as we talk about in our audio CD on Hitler's Jihad, if you know the relationship between the Catholic Center Party and the CDU, and you know the fact that this was basically Hitler's power base, his political party that empowered him through the Vatican, through Pius XII, was effectively the Catholic Center Party that essentially became the Christian Democratic Union. And what are they doing? Well, I believe they are carrying on the National Socialist agenda post-World War II, which was allied, the Nazis were allied with the Muslims. And they were writing back in the 1930s about flooding the Western world with Islam and using Islam to replace Christianity, in a nutshell. This goes all the way back even before the war, brethren. That's why I think this is important even today. All right, but we're not going to go too much into that because I want to stay on point here and talk specifically about the fact that they're going to open these archives. They're going to open the archives. Now, here's the thing. Back in 1999, John Cornwell published his book, Hitler's Pope. Now, Cornwell was a Catholic, the Roman Catholic, and a Cambridge scholar. And Cornwell, as we're going to see, because I'm going to play you some audio here on the other side of the break. But what you're going to see is that Cornwell had taken a favorable view of the Vatican beforehand when he wrote about the death of Pope John Paul I. Why? Because David Yalop, who was also Catholic, wrote his book In God's Name, in which he asserted that powers in Rome assassinated Pope John Paul I, which would have undoubtedly been the Jesuits. It's generally believed that he was poisoned, and then he was buried very quickly without an autopsy. And you can read Yalop's book on that. It is generally thought that the reason they wanted to get rid of him was because he was a seemingly nice guy, and he wanted to investigate the Vatican banking scandal, and he wanted to replace the Jesuit general Pedro Arrupe. That's generally what is thought. But Cornwell had written on this and had written a favorable view and kind of dispelled some of the so-called conspiracy theories, right? So what happens is they give Cornwell access to the Vatican archives to deal with these accusations and conspiracy theories against Pope Pius XII, that he had somehow or other conspired with Hitler and the Nazis, or he supported Hitler and the Nazis and this kind of thing, and that the Vatican was in support of the Holocaust, supposedly. So Cornwell is given access to the Vatican archives. That's why it's important, because he saw them back in the 1990s. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about what he saw and what he wrote in his book, Hitler's Pope, when we come back right after this.
Must see any follower of Christ. Filled with rich visual graphics and dramatic reenactments, A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary, a powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I also knew, living in Memphis on the New Madrid Fault, that there is the possibility of an earthquake. I also know that ice storms can cause the power to go out here, not to mention the threat of terrorism. There were many reasons. So I contacted the company Mountain House and asked if I could become a distributor of their product. I had some of their food when I was in high school on a couple camping trips, and it's really good. But now Worldview Weekend has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. We have one pack that's available. It's a bucket of food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 14 days for one person. Figure out how many are in your family. Figure out how many days you want to have food ready to be put into boiling hot water and have a good meal, and make your order. Now, again, you can order it from someone else, but if you order it from Worldview Weekend, we're not going to charge any shipping and handling. Free shipping and handling. Secondly, it's another way for us to generate revenue to underwrite the expenses of running Worldview Weekend, our radio and television ministry, and our free conference ministry. For more details, just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're talking about the Vatican announcement. They're going to open the Vatican archives on World War II and Pope Pius XII. The article on Fox News says, quote, Pope Francis says he has decided to open up the Vatican archives on World War II era Pope Pius XII. Who has been accused by Jews of staying silent on the Holocaust, declaring that, quote, the church isn't afraid of history. Francis told employees of the Vatican Secret Archives on Monday that the archives spanning 1939 to 1958 pontificate would be open to researchers on March the 2nd, 2020. Now, why they're starting at 1939? That's the date they're opening in 1939. Remember this quote we just read from Edmond Paris. The Mercure de France, that's the publication of 15th January 1934, said that it was Pius XII who made Hitler. Now, if this publication in France knew that back in 1934, if they knew that in 34, that's well before 1939, isn't it? So the Vatican is not planning to open up their archives prior to 1939. And of course, they're getting away with that because the war started in 1939. But see, there's a lot that went on before the war, a lot that went on before the actual outbreak of World War II, because Hitler had to be brought into power first. Nazism had to be formed in the years prior. All right, so here's another quote from Edmond Paris. Paris says, quote, one must read the disheveled ravings and verbal acrobatics of opportunist theologians such as Michael Schmaus. He was later made a prince of the church by Pius XII and described as the great theologian of Munich by the publication La Croix. Okay, and then it says, of which someone wrote, quote, this anthology brings together texts from the main Catholic theorists of Germany, from Gores to Vogelschlang. It makes us believe that National Socialism was born purely and simply out of Catholic ideas. Then later on, he goes on to say, Let us come back to Michael Schmaus, professor at the Faculty of Theology in Munich, who wrote, quote, "Empire and Church is a series of writings which should help the building up of the Third Reich as it unites a national socialist state to Catholic Christianity. Entirely German and entirely Catholic, these writings explore and favor relations and meetings between the Catholic Church and National Socialism. They open the way for a fruitful cooperation as outlined in the Concordat." Remember that mention of the Concordat, because you're about to hear it about it again. Here from the book, Hitler's Pope, really from the author, John Cornwell. And I want to play now some audio. This is from a news report that came out back in 1999 when his book was first published. And I want you to hear the introduction of the report by the journalist. And then we're going to hear some quotes from Cornwell himself, because this is powerful. But listen to the introduction. Listen to what they say about his book and how he was given access to the Vatican archives. Listen.
Now, for decades, there have been allegations about how Eugenio Pacelli, better known as Pope Pius XII, collaborated with the Nazis before and during World War II. Of course, the Vatican has always denied these charges, but they've kept their records locked up. They haven't allowed scholars to truly investigate the relationship between Pope Pius XII and Adolf Hitler. Well, all that changed 7 years ago when Cambridge University historian John Cornwell was given access to the secret Vatican archives. Now, Cornwell was a good Catholic. He'd written a best-selling book about the death of Pope John Paul I, and the Vatican fully expected him to exonerate Pius XII. Indeed, Cornwell himself hoped that the rumors about Nazi collusion were untrue. But to his horror, he found the opposite. Document after document proved that Eugenio Pacelli, the man who became Pope in 1939, stands as a monumental moral failure, a man more concerned with centralizing church authority than with the murder of millions of people, a man not only complicit with the rise of the Nazi Party, but according to Cornwell, a man whose silence about the fate of the Jews betrayed a deeply embedded anti-Semitic attitude.
Okay. And just so we know, the journalist who was speaking there was named Evan Solomon. And he's the one who is doing the review, and he interviews John Cornwell here on his program. And again, this is from, you know, back in 1999 when the book first came out. But notice when Cornwell is given access to the Vatican archives back in the 1990s, this is what he discovers. He discovers all of this documentation that, Pacelli, he supported Hitler. He got Hitler into power, just like what we are reading about from Edmund Paris in Paris's account from 1975. And why? Why was he indifferent or silent about what was going on with the Jewish people during the Holocaust? Because of anti-Semitism, at least according to Evan Solomon and Cornwell's book. But now he talks to John Cornwell about the Concordat, the political agreement that was made between the Vatican and Hitler during the war. And here is what Cornwell, the author, says about it. Listen.
Well, first of all, why did he go to Germany? Why was he sent there? And the reason is the instrument, the effective instrument of creating an ideology out of the whole idea of papal primacy was this new drafting of a code of canon law. For the first time in the church's history, we had a code of canon law. But they had a problem, and that problem was Germany, because Germany had one of the largest Catholic populations in the world, 23 million. It was wealthy, complex, highly sophisticated, many Catholic universities, publishing houses, 400 Catholic newspapers, and a really effective democratic political party called the Centre Party. So his purpose in Germany was to renegotiate all these old treaties and bring them in line with the new code which effectively would submit the German Catholic population to a new allegiance to the Holy See. Year after year, he attempted to pursue this concordat, the Reich Concordat, and he was turned down by successive chancellors, five of whom were Catholics, because they thought that the Vatican attempts were too authoritarian. It wasn't until Hitler emerged in power in January of 1933 that the chance for these two supreme authoritarians to come together came about. Pacelli, even before he became Pope in relation to Germany, did not trust Catholic democracy. They did not like Catholic parties because they couldn't control them and because they thought that it might introduce democratization by the back door into the church itself.
That right there is a clue to another very important piece of a big puzzle going on in the Western world. And that is why the Jesuits helped to develop social justice, socialism, and communism in the 19th century, which is effectively a form of militant atheism. Now, the contention, the reason I believe they did it, was because they had been abolished in 1773, largely because of their fellow Catholics. So as revenge and as a method of controlling not only Protestants but also Catholics, they developed militant atheism through variant forms of Marxism in the 19th century. That has been my theory. In fact, I talk about that in the audio CD on the Jesuits and Marxism. But we see Cornwell here talking about this concordat. Cornwell published this book back in 1999. It was devastating against the reputation of Pius XII. But then, within 20 years or so, you had Vatican representatives coming out and saying they discovered never-before-seen documents that proved that Pius XII was a hero, that he was rescuing Jews and all this other kind of stuff. And I remember when I saw it, I thought, oh, brother, you got to be kidding me. And this whole thing should be very interesting when it is fully unfolded next year. All right, brethren, we are out of time. That's going to do it for us today. That is our show. We will stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.